The Holy Gospel this day is according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.' O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may we be guided this day and always by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, on the Lenten journey to the cross, there is sorrow. As we see Jesus today, we know that he sees a roller coaster pattern. It's in the Old Testament. It was at Jerusalem, and it is now. First, there's a connection with God. Then there's sin. Then there's devastation. And then finally, restoration. Think about Adam and Eve for a moment. They had it perfect, didn't they? Connection with God. And then they tried to be like God, eating of the tree, sin, and then devastation. They're kicked out. They have to work. They have pain when they have babies, and all the ladies out there are upset about that one, of course. But God forgives and loves and restores. And the community grows through Adam and Eve. The world starts out with them. How about Abraham? Abraham has a promise that he and Sarah would have a kid, or Sarai at that time, and there would be descendants as numerous as the stars. And then there's a time of distrust. Abraham says, "We haven't had any kids. Hey, Sarah, do you mind if I sleep with your maidservant?" "Sure, that's a great idea." And so Abraham and Hagar get together, and Ishmael comes around from that union. Well, the promised kid eventually comes, Isaac. Abraham trusts God once again, and we see on that mount as Abraham's about to give up his child, Isaac, sacrifice him before the Lord, that he trusts his God once again. And there is restoration after devastation. How about Moses? We see him floating down the River Nile in the little basket. He's connected with God. God's taking care of him. And then there's a little bit of sin with some murder. The roller coaster goes on. There's the burning bush, right? God connects with Moses once again. I'm sending you out to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. And so Moses leads. But then eventually, as the incorrigible people keep on in their ways, Moses taps the rock twice, and doesn't seem like much of a sin to us, but it was still a sin. And so there's devastation. Moses doesn't get to enter into the promised land. But God still went with Moses throughout those 40 years. He lets him see the promised land, and there's restoration as Moses is taken into heaven. How about David? Some of you picture the little David with the rock and the sling. Some of you picture the King David. Well, Samuel, the minister and prophet of the Lord, anoints David of Jesse's tribe for service. David goes out indeed for the king, King Saul, to fight Goliath. David is small, but he declared that the Lord had delivered him from a lion and a bear, and so why not deliver him from a giant as well? He'll be protected. David is connected to the Lord. David slays the giant, as you know. David eventually becomes king, and there's peace in the land after David's defeat of many armies. David has power, and God's promise of the kingdom going on forever continues through David. David has it all, but he gets dissatisfied. He wants more. Can we relate, Americans? All the commercials say, you want more. David wants more. He wants as much as he can, and he sees across the way beautiful Bathsheba. And he fully, to the point where they're going to have a baby. Of course, she's married. So David, being the wise person he was, says, well, I'm the king, and I am going to send Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, out to the front lines. He'll get killed for sure. So David, in a sense, murders as well. There's sin, and extra sin to boot. Nathan comes to David and says, you're the man that's not doing what he's supposed to. And so David repents. He says, I'm sorry, I don't want to do these kind of things. He changes his ways. God restores the relationship, and David praises the Lord for his mercy. Connections to God. Sin, devastation, restoration. Time and time again, that pattern continues. Jesus knows this pattern. He knows the people of Israel now at Jerusalem. He knows that they're fickle. But he also knows the prophecy. He knows the leaders, the religious and political leaders. He knows the people as they waver. Jesus is before Jerusalem, and he calls out to the city as he presses forward with his goal of teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I don't know if you have noticed in the Bible, there are times when it says things twice. Why do you think that is? Well, first of all, so you hear and get the lesson. But sometimes it's to comfort. In fact, it says in Isaiah, comfort, comfort thee, my people. Moses, Moses. Saul, Saul. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Lois, Lois. Courtney, Courtney. Joseph, Joseph. The Lord has compassion. He wants to comfort. He says, oh, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And Jesus then has deep sorrow. He has anguish. He wants Jerusalem connected back to him. He wants restoration. How do you picture that hen and chick situation? I know there's the little plants, so that's different. Does that bring comfort to you on this day? Anybody? How so? How does that bring comfort? A hen gathering the chicks. Protection. Care. Warmth. Love. Compassion.
Promise.
Promise of a future. Yeah. All these good things. Mercy. The hen gathers her chicks. She loves them. And so Jesus, same thing. He loves his little chicks. And whatever male chicks are called, they're chicks too. But on that day, Jesus knows what's going to take place soon. He knows that he's being led to his death. He says, you're not going to see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so we're seeing a prophecy by Jesus himself. We know this is the Palm Sunday account, and Jesus is going to be praised. And so we see Jerusalem being fickle. We hate you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We loathe you, Jesus. We like you, Jesus, to crucify him. But they are still loved. As a hen gathers in her chicks, oh, I have longed for that. As Jesus' anguish remains on Palm Sunday, his sorrow continues. His pain continues. The people have yelled out as Jesus prophesied. They indeed said it. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And then what does Jesus do after that Palm Sunday account? He weeps over the city. He has heard praise. The connection to God is restored for a moment. But he knows they're going to go back to their sinful ways. Jesus weeps on that first Palm Sunday. You did not recognize the time of God's coming to you, Jesus says. Connection to God. Sin. Devastation. And devastation will come for Jerusalem. They're connected to God from way back. David, Solomon, they built up the temple. They built up the area. They built up everything. Sin, disbelief in this Messiah. Certainly we hear that from the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. That guy, he's not God. In fact, he's saying he's God. That's blaspheming. And so we should kill him. Devastation will come to Jerusalem. Eventually, the city's crushed again. Not being very encouraging today, am I? What about you, people of Advent? What about you? Have you had your time of connection to God? Perhaps it was as you were baptized. Perhaps you were brought to faith later in life and you recall that day and you're so thankful that God sent this person or God brought an angel nurse into your presence, whatever the case may be, connection to God. But then what takes place? Sin. We turn away from the Lord. In various ways, you know the way that you turn. And you habitually turn. You often turn. And what happens because of that sin? Devastation. Relationships are harmed. Jobs are lost. Sickness comes about. There's devastation. We feel it. We know it. We see it day by day. Now, Jesus had told the people about repentance. He says, unless you repent, unless you return to me, you're going to perish. You're going to die. And so we too, sadly, are fickle people. But the good thing is we are loved. We are loved as a little chick, as Jesus is as a mother hen, gathering us in, protecting us, loving us, caring for us, being merciful to us, being compassionate for each and every one of us. We indeed see Jesus has sorrow. We see that at Gethsemane as he's praying to his Father. He, it says, began to be sorrowful and troubled. He was sorrowful and troubled for those in the Old Testament, for Israel, for Jerusalem. Sorrowful and troubled for you. He says to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He continues in his prayer, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And then he tells his disciples, the hour is near. The hour is near. Connections to God, yeah. Then sin. Then more devastation. Jesus is led away from Gethsemane. He is betrayed with a kiss. There is denial by Peter. There is ridicule. There is pain. There is injury. There is punishment. There is death. Connections to Jesus. Connections to God. Sin. Devastation. But then, restoration. Restoration is there at the cross. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. His agony continues. His agony continues. And it was to be our agony. He takes the devastation that was ours, and it's upon him at that cross so that we can be restored. That death was ours, it was our own, but Jesus took it and gave it into his Father's hands so that you would be forgiven, so that the kingdom of God would continue forever, so that you could join up with that kingdom of God, so that you could be in the very presence of God as you come to the table, receiving the body and blood. As you're in the presence of God, as you're in his word, connected in that way, as you're in the presence of God, as you come to the house to be restored once again, renewed once again, rejuvenated once again, brought to joy once again. This is a dangerous poll question for me to ask you. But how many of you, as you come to church and see your friends and recall that we're walking in this walk together as Christians, find, and as you come to the table and as you hear the word, that you have been restored in this moment, that you have been brought to joy in this moment? Anybody? About half. My hope for you is that you understand the connection to God that Jesus keeps bringing back to you as he is, as that hen gathering in his little loved chicks. He wants to keep restoring you and keep connecting you back to him and to his Father. Sin will take place. Devastation will take place because of sin. There are consequences. You've seen it. You know it. But then the restoration, bringing us back to the connectedness. So, my prayer for you is that you do go out encouraged and filled with joy because you are restored by the Lord who gathers you in and loves you all the days of your life. He cares for you. Have no more sorrow, little chick. Amen. Peace, love, grace, faith, and joy be yours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to turn to you so that we are not filled with sorrow, but we have joy as we follow you on our journeys. Amen.